Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey girl, hey, it's episode 70 of Please Advise. What's going on? I'm just gonna ask Siri. Hey girl, what's going on?
Good afternoon, girl.
Why do you call me girl?
Okay, but I already call you girl. Girl.
Girl, why are you so obsessed with calling me girl? I do this all day.
Okay, but I already call you girl. Girl.
Yeah, all right. So this is my new game. I do it all day. Make my phone call me girl. I switched it to a British man.
I was just going to ask, why was it like a stuffy British man? It sounds like someone who would play Sherlock Holmes.
Well,
in the
Siri, when Siri was a girl, she would call me girl. And then that felt more conversational. But now I just like him calling me girl. And I said it to like UK English, which I don't really know what that means. So I'm waiting for the day that I get a weird word that I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
It'd probably be like aluminium or something like that.
Ooh, I like that. And also U's. I've been looking for like weird U insertion. I know that's more usually like Canadian. Anyway, so I had the craziest week of my life, you guys. I'll talk about what I can legally. So I have a stalker right now and I'm pretty traumatized by it and I'm afraid to go to my own home. So I've been like not at my house most of the time. And then I went on a 2-week road trip and on my second to last day of the road trip, a guy with foam pouring out of his mouth chased me down the block for 2 blocks. And like, I was like crying and like freaking out. And then I got back to the hotel. I got into a fight with the hotel management. Long story short, I trashed the hotel room. I got arrested in Tucson, Arizona. Don't worry. I don't have to go to my arraignment. I'm already out of it. And, you know, whatever. Like, it is what it is. I'm not proud of myself, but I've also like, whatever. Like, I've never been in trouble in my fucking life. Like, why? This is clearly uncharacteristic. I think we're all allowed one. Christina, I know you broke a bottle in a bar once. So I just want to say that, like, you know, some things happened. And I know that for a fact, it's like kind of a response to the fact that I feel very insecure in my life right now. I don't feel like I have a lot of security. So I bought a house. I just went on Thursday and I saw a house that I loved. My real estate agent was Courtney Robertson, winner of The Bachelor, Ben season, and also my good friend. I love her. She's on this pod. And now Courtney is just, well, like, here's the thing. If you're going to have a real estate agent, why wouldn't it be a model? Right?
Yeah, I don't know. The only reason why I could come up with why is like I would have trouble staring directly in their faces. Like the sun, it's like too intense.
No, Courtney is pretty like that. Yeah. You're like, which way do I look?
But yeah, she's, I had trouble looking at her when she was on the
Yeah, no, podcast. She's really, really pretty. That's why, I mean, do you fear that? Like unusually good looking people? Yes. But
yeah.
Because I know other people fear that, I figured let's put her in there for my fierce negotiations. And she did an amazing job. And we like Courtney pulled out the biggest dick player move in the game, which was that my final offer was going to be $3,000 and no more than the other highest offer. So I just kept going in $3,000 increments till everyone gave up You just squeezed that puppy till there was no life left in it. Now I'm a homeowner, so I'm really happy. I'm going to move in there in 40 days. I'm going to grow lemon trees and weed. The first thing I did when I got my house was I was like, oh, I can grow so much weed. And like, this is where the kegs are going to go for a party. And like, I did the most responsible thing I could do. And then I immediately figured out how my friends and I are going to defile it. So I'm really excited. We're going to have a huge blast, like huge party. Everyone's going to come out. Everyone's going to bring me pills and stuff. And it's just going to be like really fun. So I don't really know how to like summarize what the fuck's going on in my life without either implicating myself in a crime or giving you guys information that I'm kind of trying to keep in my back pocket for a legal situation I'm in. I'm suing the company that brought the stalker to me. It's really sad. Really crazy situation.
Yeah. I would say you have a lot going on. You're in flux. Like, there are times when good things will happen to you, but not every aspect of your life is in place or like, and this goes for anyone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's hard to like really relish in the good things that have happened to you when you have so much other aspects of your life that's in kind of in flux and in chaos.
Thank you for summarizing that for me, because you're absolutely right. I went on a Tinder date the other night with a guy. I have a boyfriend now, by the way. So, but I went on a Tinder date the other night before I had sorted those details out. And we were discussing.
And that's fine. That's totally like fair game.
That's what I'm saying.
I think like that's people don't have that conversation. And that's where a lot of women get tripped up, is because they don't have the formalized. Don't assume anything when you're in a relationship with anyone.
As soon as I liked this guy, I doubled down on the other dates, because I was like, I'm not going to set myself up for a failure. Like, I'm not going to be left in the dust. I'm just going to like keep trying to like investigate hotties. And then like when something happens, it happens. But obviously, I got this guy to be totally obsessed with me pretty quickly. So it was like not really necessary. you guys, this isn't the new malls. Like, I used to not even be able to tell guys to not be mean to me. And now I'm just fucking blowing through boyfriends. Very serious commitments. So
Malls 2.0
for real. And so he was my Tinder date from the other night was saying that he has had an Excel sheet. And in that Excel sheet are like six categories, like work, love, comedy. That was a big question mark for me when he's like, comedy is on my family, friendships, and money.
Okay.
And in each one of those categories, every single day at 10 p.m., he has an alarm go off on his phone, and he ranks each one of those things 1 through 10.
Yeah.
And he said that one day he wants to have an artist illustrate what those ebbs and flows were, because nothing has ever been all tens in one category, and nothing has ever been all ones in one in all the categories. And like, that's life to me. Like, yes, like my work situation right now, it may be a 5. My love life feels like a 9. My personal, like my familial shit maybe feels like a 3. Like, it's all over the place always. Yeah. So it's kind of,
that's why you have to like really try to focus. It's hard. And I was just talking to Molly about this before we started the podcast. It's like, when you're in a way about stuff and you feel like you're being weighed down, it's easy to like kind of knock on yourself for not appreciating the good things in your life.
True.
But when you're in that mindset, it's very difficult to appreciate things like that. So it's important not to get on yourself about it so much.
Yeah.
And kind of give yourself
a break. It's hard to not give yourself a hard time. No, I know. Well, I don't even realize I'm hard on myself till like literally I was like, I got my car broken into in Palm Springs and someone stole $5,000 worth of shoes and clothing from me. And I just started to like tear up at the desk, and I was like, I'm such an idiot. I must have left my car door open. And like, the desk clerk looked at me and goes, Molly, you are way too hard on yourself. And I was like, that fucking random stranger can like see the mental turmoil I'm putting myself through right now and thinks it's inappropriate. Like, why can't I figure that out? And I think, you know, maybe reflect on that, y'all, not to get too heavy at the top of the pod, but reflect on that over this holiday season. Why are you so mean to yourself? Like, you can't, like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed, we don't know anything. Like, look at our own parents. They're all fucking messes. No offense, mom. But like, you know, they're all figuring it out. No one has all the answers all the time. So whatever. You guys, we have an awesome guest today who I've been a fan of for a long time. Everyone knows that I'm a big fan of Allison Rosen's pod. And she is a regular guest on the Thursday show. And she also has her own amazing podcast, Sorry Not Sorry, with Jenna Kim Jones. And she's a new mom. You guys, it's Jenna Kim Jones.
Woohoo!
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. I am really relating to this whole, like, don't be so hard on yourself situation. Yes.
Oh, well, you're a new mom.
I am, like, every day is, like, I'm the worst. Yeah. I'm not feeding her enough. I'm not doing it right. I'm a terrible parent. Is she fine? I don't know. She just cries and eats and sleeps. Maybe she's not.
Do you
worry
about her being cold all the time?
All the time. Every dumb thing you can imagine. Is that a rash? No, she's just kind of hot and, like, is a little red. Like, everything is crazy right now. I'm, like, amped to a stress degree that I've never experienced.
Well, I'm glad you could follow anything I just said. I appreciate that. And also, I have to say, for a brand new mom, she walked in here today and you look well rested.
Thank
you.
Your
skin looks amazing.
Whoa.
Your hair is put together. You look great. Like, I was like totally low key. Well, like, if Jenna, like, it needs to, like, breastfeed or pump while we're doing this, like, or like, okay? If we want to walk off and cry, like, I'm with you, girl. I'll go out there, we'll smoke a cigarette, I'll get you hooked, I don't care.
Two things I do want to say, like, when you walked in, like, you have a really great energy to you, and I know that sounds really like mystic, and I'm not usually that kind of like person, very like emphatic and black and white and scientific, but you have like a really great vibe and energy to you that I felt like immediately as soon as you walked in the room.
Well, you also have a musical spirit. I've noticed that about you, have your voice, like, there's music. Okay. There's music in your, like, you can hear in your spirit that you're a musical person. I know you are a singer.
Yes.
But, like, you just, some people come across as, like, they have a song in their heart. And I think that you definitely have that. Like, it's
like a lot of compliments happening, a lot. It's
we get a lot of really dark people in here.
So the second thing I wanted to say, we had so much darkness at the top that we're trying to counteract that. The second thing I wanted to say is, like, as a new mom, do you find that people are nicer to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. There's, like, a lot of, oh, you're a new mom, it's okay.
Yeah.
If they have to know you're a new mom, obviously. But,
right.
I was actually kind of depressed because when I was super huge and pregnant, I was like, oh, everyone was so amazing to me everywhere I went. And I thought, when this ends, it's going to be so depressing.
When
I just
you
go back to a normal citizen. Yeah.
Girl, you had the baby 3 weeks ago, right?
3 weeks ago.
Okay, so when were you huge and pregnant? Because you already look so tiny. I cannot believe you just had a baby.
Very nice of you. Yeah, I was huge up until 3 weeks ago. I mean, like, I could barely walk.
Where does it go?
It was like a full-on waddle. It comes out of you, and it's disgusting.
Okay, can you explain, please? Because I don't think... Okay, mucus plug. I know I learned about the mucus plug at, like, 28. Why is there not a public dialogue about the mucus plug?
There should be a public dialogue about everything after birth. It's
what happens.
So gross.
Give us something. So, like, because we've had, like,
I'm
some ignorant.
I'm swallowing.
I know. We've had some, like, ignorant conversations on this podcast about babies because neither Molly and I really know.
I see maybe one baby a year and I'm stunned. I'm always like, oh, look at that small cat with human ears. Oh my God. So I'm always surprised. Continue.
I'm like, oh, can the baby eat guacamole? I was asking my mom if my, like, 5 month old niece can eat guacamole at this point.
Yeah, no. They,
I was like, she doesn't need to chew it, right?
Yeah, they can just gulp it
down. Suck
down
some guac.
Yeah. Put it in a bottle.
Okay, so what don't we know?
Okay, so, well, for me, it was like, you have the baby, and as soon as she came out of me, I mean, like, we're talking in labor, delivery, she comes out, they put her on top of me. Meanwhile, all the doctors stay down there.
Oh, yeah.
And do a lot of stuff.
Investigation discovery.
There's, like, they pull the placenta out, which my husband was like, that was the biggest thing I've ever seen. He's like, it was like a cow's heart.
Did you
came
keep it?
Out of you? No. They asked us,
yeah,
do you want to take this home? And I was like, please get that away from me. I never want to see it again. It's the most disgusting
thing. I love that about you.
I've ever seen.
I know a woman, well, I knew, and I had an English teacher who's, friend made placenta jerky. Like, she put her placenta in the dehydrator because she wanted to bring it home for her husband to eat. And so she couldn't figure out how to get the placenta on the plane. So she just put it in the dehydrator and then sat around and ate her placenta jerky as a family.
I think we just found the title of this podcast.
Placenta jerky.
So gross. So they push on your stomach as hard as they can to get everything out. And then for like the last 2 to 3 weeks, I'm still not healed down there.
Right.
But stuff comes out of you. Like chunks of stuff.
Oh, my
I know
God.
That's so
no
horrible.
One ever mentioned the chunks to me.
And
no.
Everyone's
that's why
like,
you have to wear those
diaper giant pads. Yeah.
Oh, I'm furious. My best friend just had a baby, and I never heard about this stuff. This is her second baby, and I haven't heard anything about post.
You know, she has probably more decorum than I do.
No, like, she sent me a picture of her tits this morning, and she said, "I can feed humans, and they're huge. I'm amazing." Like, this is what that's. I wake up to pictures of her tits every day. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, then I don't know. Maybe she's like more.
Maybe you got a little extra.
Yeah, maybe, exactly. Maybe I've been collecting for the last nine right. months. Because it seriously was freaky. Like, going to the bathroom was scary.
That's so scary. Yeah. Did you have to get stitches? Oh, is yeah. that too personal?
Oh, no, okay. I did. Yeah. They did should really be healed hurt? By now. It did. And that was painful.
They dissolve, correct? Mm-hmm. There's no stitch removal process? No. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I had the whole kit and caboodle happened yeah. down there. It was a lot. I was in labor for 28 hours.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I had no idea. Yeah. So wait, so when did you start the pushing process? Like,
so I only pushed for 45 minutes,
right?
But I had, they started me out. They did I was induced because,
right.
I was 10 days late. Well,
I remember.
Yeah, yeah. It was like forever. And then they finally said, okay, we're going to induce you. And they started me on this procedure where they put a balloon inside of your cervix.
Okay.
And they blow it up. Uh-huh. And then they let your body naturally open.
Dilate or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been silent for the past couple minutes because my mouth is just open wide.
I'm desperately yeah. trying to find saliva in my mouth to swallow because my whole throat is dry.
This is why I shouldn't tell anyone
no,
any of this.
No, tell everyone but because why don't we know this? This is terrible that no, we're women that important. Don't know this. It is important.
It's important for adoption also.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, so they did that. That took about 6 hours for my body to dilate and open enough so that the balloon would fall back out
yeah.
essentially. And then they started me on Pitocin, which is a drug that starts contractions.
So how'd you like that? Because Jen, I know you're Mormon, so you're not really into the sauce and stuff. And like, I kind of think that getting pregnant is like mostly about the drugs. My friend told me after you get Percocet for like weeks.
They gave me some. They gave me a bunch of drugs. I've only taken like the low ends, like the Motrin and the yeah. ibuprofen.
You're just because, a saint.
Well, no, I'm not. But they gave me an epidural real quick after the Pitocin because yeah. they're like because I felt the contraction starting and I was like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
Yes. So they gave me the epidural, which was not a big deal. I thought it was going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Because there's like they talk about the spinal tap of it all.
Yeah.
A lot.
And it was not a big deal. I didn't feel anything because they numbed everything before.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you just like get it and you're done. And then
you can get one of those this afternoon.
Yeah, except for you, they have to put a catheter in you too. So okay. You don't want that.
I don't know, John. I've been pretty hard up in the past. Okay, so continue.
Then, yeah, then I basically just had contractions for hours and felt the pressure of a baby, but wasn't allowed
like
to push.
Your hips are going to split open.
It feels like, to be perfectly honest, like you have to take the greatest dump of your entire life.
I understand. That mm-hmm. pressure is not fun. Mm-mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Yeah. And I felt like my body wanted to push for about 2 full hours at least.
Yes.
Where it was like, I need to get this thing out of me. I need to get it out of me. But the doctors were like, no, you're not ready yet. It was a really complicated experience where I felt like I wasn't being listened to necessarily right at the end there.
Yes.
And then they finally came in and checked me and I was fully dilated and 45 minutes later.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, girl, I would imagine after 28 hours or 27 hours of anything, like I would be seeing red. I'd be like, listen to me. I know what's going on. Yes. And like,
and my husband was starting to lose it too. He was like, Al was like, I couldn't take watching you. Because my body at that point was like fully shaking. And then I was so tired. And then they're like, okay, let's start pushing. And I'm like, that's when I kind of broke down in tears and was like, I can't do it. I can't push this thing out of me. I'm so tired. And he was very good, a very good cheerleader of like, you can do it. I mean, I actually had been making fun of movies. Like, mm-hmm. there's always that scene where the woman's like, I can't do it. Yeah. And I fully was that woman.
Yeah.
I can't do this. And he had to like, look me in the eyes, give me the motivational speech.
Yeah.
Tell me my hair looked okay, even though I know it didn't.
I love that even mattered to you. I don't care what my hair looks like now.
I wanted to brush my hair
so you look good for the pics.
Yes, but I couldn't into it. Every time he handed me the brush, a contraction would come, and I would just end up squeezing the hairbrush as hard as I could.
Oh, my God.
I would loosen it, and then I would fall asleep for 30 seconds, and then the contraction would come back, and it would just, it was this
That's
horrible.
That's insane. Yeah. It makes total sense that your body just goes completely, passes out after something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And can I tell you that I both think it is so awesome and so funny that for labor, Al got you a toaster. Like, I...
That was your push present?
I want. He got me a sick toaster oven.
It's really nice. But then I was kind of like, I was like, that's really nice. Then I was like, wait a minute. She just had a baby. I think we can do better than toast, Al. I mean, granted, he's going to take care of you and the kid for a really long time.
Right, yes. No,
and that's a lot of toast. Great. You're going to need a lot of toast over the years. But it's really funny. That's like the best push present I've ever seen.
I have to say, I appreciated it. We've used it a lot.
You're not Kim K. You don't need a diamond choker from Lorraine Schwartz.
I'm good. Say it.
What do you think about the baby named Saint, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, really...
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew Robert or Dondo was going to be on the mix. And I was like, please don't name the baby Dondo. And then I was like, wait, I bet they're going to name it a word like Jenga. That it's like, we all know what that word means to us, but to them it means something different.
Well, for me, the only thing that bugs me about it is that it's like Kanye kind of has a savior complex anyway. So it does feel like he's like, I'm starting my own family religion. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
no.
My son is the next me type thing. Yes. So we better give him a name.
And that's a huge name to live up to.
Yes.
Like, you can just see, like, Saint West found dead. And, like, and it's very scary not to go to a dark place. But, like, come on. Let's just be real. Are they capable of loving their own children? I hope to God they are. I just don't know if that's fully possible. When I think about people that, like, you know, like... I look at my dog every day. I'm completely in love with him. When I look at the Kardashians' pets, I'm like, do they touch them and like know how to show them love? Like, or are they just like?
It is weird to me because like I have just been in we've been calling it baby jail, but essentially like I've just been at home for the last 3 weeks, like not doing anything. My entire focus is this child, and there's so much to do, and she throws up on everything, and like changing diapers, she'll pee mid change, and then you're like, okay, there's pee everywhere now, and I just washed you, and all these different things, and you go like, do celebrities really do it? Do they do this?
They
do
definitely
they go
don't
into the throes of this baby craziness.
I bet Sandra Bullock does with her adopted children. I feel she does, but
I've seen Tiffany Amber Thiessen change a diaper.
Oh no, okay. I think she's, but she's, but she has that. I think Tiffany's normal, but but I think that like if you think like Charlie is at home changing a diaper,
it's
maybe
like,
her,
maybe
Reese.
Who knows?
I can see Reese slinging a baby around changing a diaper.
Jennifer Garner for sure. She's like in there.
I think Jennifer Garner is the best mom in the world. When I was writing gossip, I would just write like posts of Jennifer Garner with pictures of her children and be like, Jennifer Garner, still the best mother in the world. Because like her kids are so cute and she wears New Balances and they were like nerdy glasses from Lens Crafters. Yes. And they're like so cute and just like good little girls. Like, and they have a boy now too, I think. Mm-hmm. Poor Jennifer Garner.
She's going through tough times.
Did you see that Ben Affleck back tattoo that he has now?
What?
No. What is it?
It's like a giant phoenix on his back. Have you not seen this?
Is that the sun's name?
The rising from the ashes.
Oh, no. Oh. Wait, what's the sun's name? Isn't the sun named Phoenix or something?
No.
Is it because he's a phoenix? Is that what that symbolism is?
I don't know. I think he got it like after the separation.
I thought you were going to say some real white trash Boston shit. I thought you were going to say like he has like a full like family crest on his back or something. Like
little Irishman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably, I mean, you know, not a great acting decision.
Oh my gosh. It's huge.
That is gigantic. Wait. So was that taken at the tattoo parlor?
No, he was on the set of a movie and he's wearing like a little medical thing.
That's for real.
Yeah, that's
it's
real.
It's not for a movie.
Yeah, no, it's real because they had like a snapshot of it like a couple months ago because he was like lifting up his arms.
Yeah.
And you could see it in the back.
So is that what he has been doing for the last year? Because you don't get ink like that. Like you don't pop into Sunset Tattoo and get like a quick whatever. Like that's months and months of work and coloring.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wonder who designed that. I wonder if it's like some big tattoo artist. You guys, email us about Ben Affleck's tattoo. Jenna, do you want to play Do You Fear That with us?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. We have this game. It's all about fears. I believe fears are very telling. Christina's going to pull it up for me. So, guys, I just got the 6S Plus, and Christina just handed me her phone. This is the 5S.
Yeah.
I thought this was an iPod. All right. I don't even remember a time in my life. This isn't even...
They used to be smaller.
Yeah. 4 months ago did I have this phone. Not even 4 months ago. And I look at this now. I really think this looks like a small bar of soap. If someone handed me this, I would say, that's not enough soap to wash my body. This is so small. How cute is this? Guys, vintage. Okay. So
I'm getting a new phone for Christmas.
You are? Yeah. No, you don't need a new phone. Look at this. What am I doing? Okay, so Jenna.
Yes.
This is a game. Do you fear that? It's 50 questions. It's kind of like 51. And if you are afraid of this thing, yes or no, maybe elaborate if it's like super scary or super not scary.
Okay.
Because all these things vaguely scare me.
Sure, sure.
Okay. One, being naked in front of someone who's angry at you.
Yes, sure.
Deep space.
No.
Fire.
No.
Food in countries you've never been to.
No.
Okay, so JKJ was born in Korea. How crazy is that? And you lived there till you were like 5 or something?
8.
8. Mm-hmm. So do you still speak Korean? Mm,
I forgot anything I once knew.
Isn't that amazing?
Was it a mission or was it like a military thing?
My dad is an attorney there and still is. So he still lives in Korea. So we have lots of Asia connections.
Did you think like American food was weird when you first moved here? Kind of.
Actually, not so much because my mom was pretty good. She always wanted us to like have our roots in America. You know?
Yes.
But it was amazing, like the amount of stuff. So mm-hmm. when we would go to the grocery store, it was like, oh my gosh, there's just like these Pop-Tarts are amazing. And there's so many kinds. And the cereal, there's so many kinds.
What do you remember about like food there that would probably surprise us?
Like Korean food?
Yeah.
It's very smelly, which is probably not surprising. There's a lot of good Korean food here in LA.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like the idea that like they're really noisy eaters.
Interesting.
Very noisy. It's a sign, like a compliment. Like yes. if you slurp your food and make a lot of noise, that means you're enjoying
it. I've always wondered about that. Appreciate
what you're eating. So that's kind of like off-putting when you're not used to it. You go like, what? You're all a bunch of slobs.
Oh, I lived in Koreatown for 5 years and I was super confused until right. you just told me that.
Right.
I was like, wow. I think it used to be like in Roman history, like if you burped loudly, that was a shown of like appreciation for the meal that you had. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not slurping. I don't want any slurping in the mix. But I do have to say that that is my number one thought whenever I want to travel somewhere. I'm like, can I eat that? Like, is that
my thing is always also too, like, personal space boundaries are completely different in countries like outside of the U.S. Yes. So I just learned this. In the United States, personal space is at least 18 inches away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, British people have the most personal distance, and then we're like kind of second. But yeah, that's 18 inches is considered a lot of personal space.
Like dry hump
bubble.
Your leg if you want to try on a medium sized sweater. Like they like don't like. There's no. It's like very different. It's crazy how we're very interesting here, and I'm starting to really think, especially with everything that's going on in the world, how immature America is. Like I mean, obviously that's very. You know, I mean, what did Johnny Depp say? America's like a puppy. We all gave him shit. He's not wrong. Yeah. He's not wrong. Okay, the dark.
No.
Unexpectedly seeing a naked adult.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's weird, right?
Very
I don't want to just be like open. Whoa, like that'd be really upsetting to me.
Yeah,
I don't like
exactly.
walk around like bracing myself. But like if I saw it, I'd be afraid of it.
Yes.
I'd be like, why are you naked? That's not customary.
I'd probably gasp, you know. Maybe a little shriek.
Would you clutch imaginary pearls?
Oh, absolutely.
So hard.
Yeah.
clowns?
Yeah.
They're not super friendly.
Yeah, I don't love them.
Sleeping alone?
No.
Getting caught talking to yourself in the car?
No.
Little person porn?
Yes.
Germs?
No.
Saying a new word out loud for the first time?
Totally.
By the way, can I say how much I appreciate you being a new mom, like, who doesn't care about germs? Because I don't either.
In fact, I almost feel a little like, should I care more? And then I don't.
No, throw her in the ball pit at McDonald's. You'll never need to get her a flu shot in her life. She'll be great. The idea that you might be the only person in your friend group who doesn't understand the movie you just saw.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I remember hearing you saw Gem and the Holograms. And, like, you had a very, what would be the word? You were very political about it. Like you handled how probably terrible it was very well. You were like, it wasn't for me, but I can see how it would be for another person. And
if I were like 11.
I was like, Jenna, just rip it. What's wrong? Like, go after it. It's crazy.
And she was like one of 10 people.
Four people in America.
I was the only person in the theater.
Yeah.
And actually at one point, a man walked in and sat down. And part of me was like, he's either here to attack me or he's like super weird.
There's a lonely pregnant woman in Jen.
Right. Let's go. The only thing I thought was like, I better get my phone out just in case I need to call 911.
Right.
Because this man might kill me. And then he left after about 5 minutes. So yeah. I could relax and then also figure out, what am I watching?
That man was me. First dates.
No.
Finding out that you've been suffering from a severe mental illness your entire life.
Yes, mental illness freaks me out.
It does. Mm-hmm. What do you think would be, if you had to like say people would probably figure out on that, what would it be?
If I had one?
Yeah, like let's say you are who you are, and then a doctor came to you tomorrow and said, Jenna, you're not just you. You've been dealing with this affliction your entire life. You are blank. What do you think it would be?
I don't know. I feel like probably something like a bipolar. But something even worse. Maybe a sociopath. Probably a sociopath.
No way. Yeah. I would never peg you as a socio.
Well, good. I don't think I am one. I hope not.
But that's true, is that a sociopath would never know they're a sociopath.
Right. Yeah.
Watching mold grow on nature shows.
No.
What you'll see when you look in the mirror.
I still don't understand the mold one. I've heard you do play this game with other people, and I'm like, what is that even?
So when you watch like a nature show or like a video of like mold, and it's sporous and it develops rapidly.
Is this like a time lapse?
It's like a hyperlapse of the mold growing. You know how they try to show like time passing?
Yes,
like,
okay.
Yeah. Or if you ever like find
it. And it freaks you out.
I don't like it. I don't like to see it grow and make a family and grow on top of itself. It's just too biological for me, to be perfectly honest. There's just something too biological about it. Lena Dunham's success?
Am I scared of it? No, I think I understand her success, but sometimes I don't know if she doesn't. Here's the thing about Lena Dunham.
Mm-hmm.
I think clearly she's very talented. Clearly she's done a lot of good stuff, but I don't feel like she necessarily represents me and my age group of people.
Right.
That's all.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I think anytime you give someone the label, like voice of a generation, even if she mockingly did it herself at one point, like it's. You're a voice, you're a voice of certain people of some generation in the same way, but I could think of her like I think of Woody Allen, where it's like you're in that and you create that world and you are that world and you can appreciate it from the outside.
Totally.
Or you like are like, that's me.
Totally.
Like,
okay. Yeah. But I'm not afraid of it.
Or you can see it and be like, ew. Like, I think that a lot. But what I think is really interesting about her and why I thought of her when I was thinking of fear of people's success is that I think people have a really difficult time processing how something that they don't understand could be so successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because she's young and a woman that it's like, hey, if she can have that and I don't understand it, then where does that leave me?
You know what I fear? I fear like YouTubers' success more than I fear Lena Dunham's success. You know?
Because they make $27,000 a day for like doing nothing.
Yes. Yeah. That's who I fear more.
Quality stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like
racist, homophobic fart jokes. Like if you can manage to make a fart joke, both racist and homophobic.
And it also just like there's no progression in terms of like skill. You would think that the videos would be getting better in quality, but they never do. They're always like the same level of like amateur.
Yeah. Yes. I think like someone like you can see someone like an example from like years ago, iJustine, for example, when she first started out just like camming in her apartment and she would just like have a live stream going of her all day, and then seeing how her editing skills developed over the years and how she figured out comedic timing and characters. Do I watch that and think it's funny? Fuck no. But I also don't watch anything on Disney Channel. I'm like, LOL my ass off either. So I just don't like, it's someone's idea of a fun time. It's just not mine.
No, not, I don't think, I think you have to be young.
That's the thing. It's like that also scares me that I'm becoming like irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right.
I've known for a while that I don't know anyone that like 15-year-olds think are famous. I don't know any of their names. Like Cody Simpson,
Vine or whatever they are.
Yeah. I don't know who they are. All these pop stars coming out of nowhere. Shawn Mendes. Who the fuck is that?
Who is that? Really? I know.
I don't know. but I am glad that I clocked Ariana Grande early on and I said, I bet the teens will love her. And boy, do they ever. Dancing in public?
No.
Singing in public?
No.
Missing out on events or parties?
No.
Having to go to events or parties?
Yes.
That you're a fraud?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
It's mm-hmm. a lady thing, I think, too. Mm-hmm. It's also a creative thing. Mm-hmm. That no one would ever romantically love you if your face got burned off with acid?
Yes.
I don't understand people that are like, I kill it. No, I don't fear that. Mispronouncing someone's name every time you see them and never being corrected.
Yeah, I fear that.
Spending a week in Times Square.
I lived on 50th and 8th right. for like 3 years. So I basically lived
Jenna
in
worked
Times
at the
Square.
Daily Show yeah. and you were, if I'm not, were you the sense, like, were you the person who had to go through the script and if there was a bad word, circle it?
I did that. I did that along with lots of other things. But yeah, that was one of them.
I love that about you because right. that is the hardest job. Like, we used to get emails at Two Broke Girls being like, on page 24, you guys say jizz 5 times. We can't say jizz because jism is semen. And it's like, I'm like, it was just always like you get these long legal explanations of why that one synonym for that one word is not okay. Mm-hmm. And it's the best. It's the best. Form in the game. What else did you do there?
I was like a script assistant type, so I took a lot of notes, made a lot of copies.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's it.
Yeah.
That was like the gist of my job. Yeah.
What was your did you have like an up close and personal with a guest or anything that we might be interested in?
Yeah, I've had lots of weird experiences. I think my weirdest Daily Show guest experience was with there were two. There was election night when Obama was first elected in 2008.
Oh, that
must
have
been like a crazy night. Yes. We did the live show, and he just announced he'd won. And
I
was like,
chills for you. I don't know.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah. It was that exciting though. And yeah. I had to like run up to my desk because I needed some different cards because I was like printing out during this live show updates on, you know, their blue cards or
absolutely.
Whatever. Like it was just crazy. So I'm like running to my desk and I turn the corner and I just had in mind, like, Robin Williams and Billy Crystal were sitting at my desk because my desk was right in front of the big
that
TV.
That is crazy.
And I'm like, excuse me, I just need to get something out of my desk. And just the idea that they were in my, like, stuff.
I was just going to say, like, when you realize a person is truly famous is when you're embarrassed to move about your own world.
Yes.
Like, you're like, oh, you're so famous, I'm not even human. Yes. I just, why would I have a desk? Just me? Who?
Exactly. I have a story about that. I used to do red carpet reporting.
Yeah.
So I was at the SAG Awards the year Sandra Bullock was having her big, like, I forget the
Blind Side.
The Blind Side
yeah.
win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to leave the press room after the event, and she was standing in front of the doorway.
I'm stroking out. Okay.
So I just stood there silently for like a solid 2.5 minutes. And she like keeps looking at me from the side of the, and I was just like trying to find a way to like say, excuse me, can I get past you?
I love finally- you so much because you're not like that. So like imagining you like that is really cute to me.
So, oh, well, it was probably just like 30 seconds, but it felt like 2 minutes.
No, yeah. It feels like 7 hours. Yeah, you're like, yeah. Well, I've been staring at her.
And she just like was like, I think she was like talking to another reporter or doing something, so I didn't want to interrupt that whole process.
Yeah.
So then she looks at me and she's like, oh, are you trying to get by? Why didn't you say something? And I was like, I didn't want to interrupt you.
You're
she's
amazing.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have just been like, fuck Jesse James. Right? And like walked out of the room.
This
fuck
is before,
him.
This
yeah.
is
yeah.
before all that happened.
Oh,
so she was still like in the
right,
glow of being
was.
Happy
oh.
and like mentioning him in all of her acceptance speeches
yeah,
and saying like,
oh, biggest come up that guy ever
so,
had.
So yeah, but Sandra Bullock was very nice,
shop.
You guys.
Well, my other real quick was Justin Bieber came on the show.
Tell me everything.
And this was like pre-insane fame, pre-tattoos.
Yeah.
He was still pretty young. And just... He basically, my boss was like, can you just sort of like watch over him today? Cause he's gonna come on the show and just take care of him. So
right.
I like went to the green room and was like, hey,
are you okay?
What do you need? Are you good? Yeah. I'm kind of your babysitter for today. I didn't say that, but then he's like, he asked for pizza and ginger ale. He wanted chicken and pineapple pizza.
That's cute.
And ginger ale. And I said, no problem. So I went and got it and I brought it back to the green room and I'm like setting up plates and napkins and stuff for him. And he's just staring at me and he goes, hey, Jenna.
Oh my God. Wait.
And he kept calling me Jenna Benna and like singing it like Jenna Benna. And then he finally, like, I'm setting up, I'm kind of leaned over and he goes, hey, Jenna, I really like that shirt on you. It's a really great color. Blue t-shirt
and
from
you're
the
with
Gap.
Al, you could have had Bieber. The father could have gone to jail. I know. That is so funny. Oh my god. Well, what color was the shirt?
It was just a blue shirt from the Gap. He likes blue. Nice, yeah. Like a nice baby blue. Looks really great on you.
Was it form-fitting?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, and then I was like, I see, like, looking down my shirt. You know, it's like a V-neck. You know, yeah. I'm like, ah, I gotta go.
Jenna, he doesn't even drink ginger ale. He just wanted to see you put it down. contracting.
Was it Canada Dry?
I know, seriously. It was, yes. That's so cute. You know, Justin, as we have a lot of feelings about Justin here on the pod, and right now he's on our good side because I'm enjoying Sorry.
Yeah, he's got some good songs finally.
Right? Yeah, he's a sexually young being. I'm really tired of hearing about his dick, though. Like, that making love all night line, like, really. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That also makes it hard for me to swallow.
The line that got me was like, I'm not trying to get you back on me.
Right. And also, can we talk about metaphorical gin and juice? Because I'm like, so what's the metaphor, sweetheart? Because like when you say it's a metaphor, now all of a sudden we're there. So yeah. Like you just, if you just said gin and juice, we would have been like, got it. She's not talking about gin and juice. Now we're just picturing you guzzling Canadian cum. Contracting herpes.
Oh, yeah. Fear.
Yeah. Right?
Definitely.
Jenna, what would you do?
I don't know.
Where would it come from? A toilet seat?
That's what I see. But see, that's my fear. It's because I'm like this super, you know, I've had one partner and I don't know.
You that and Al Airbnb, like who knows, like, what you pick exactly. up in the jacuzzi. You
know, that is my greatest fear, because how do you explain it? Like, yeah. Oh, toilet seat. Right. Totally.
I feel like he'd believe you, though. Blindly reaching into a bag of jelly beans and putting one in your mouth without looking at it.
Oh, fear. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Going through TSA.
No.
Because yeah, you I've know you didn't it. Do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I'm always feeling like I know I did something wrong.
Well, I used to be like that. Yeah. And then I traveled so much in the last couple of years that I'm just like, I'm over it. Check what you need to do.
That's
I don't care.
That's my attitude. Because like for whatever reason, either sometimes my underwire sets off the like alarm thing.
Dumb titties.
I'm just like, fine.
Yeah. They reach up in there.
Yeah. But the back of the hand, Pat.
Oh, you get that?
I get. Oh, no. Like, my favorite is when they do the crotch one.
That's your favorite? I'm like, please don't do the crotch one.
I stare at them when they do that.
I know. No, you would be so sexually intimidating as a TSA agent. I'd be like, oh, no, I can't. Whatever's in her pants, I can't handle it. Needles?
No.
What's in tap water?
No.
Spending a month or more with your family and only your family?
Ooh, no.
You have a big immediate family, right?
I do. I have 3 brothers, 2 sisters.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they live around here, right?
I have
some
a
of them?
Brother here. Well, he used to be in Santa Clarita, but now he's down in San Diego.
So do you guys get to see each other a lot?
We used to. Now, yeah he just got remarried, and he's kind of just busy down there. It's
What's
far away.
The Mormon divorce sitch? Like, is it, I mean, I'm sure it's like regular divorce. Yeah. You're not really supposed to do it. But like, is it more common now? Like, are you?
It's very common. Okay. I would say, and honestly, there's really no like, I guess maybe there was stigma when I was a kid.
Sure.
And now I feel like it's so much more normal. That there is no like, oh, your parents got divorced. Big deal. When I was younger. And I didn't realize this till I was an adult.
Yes.
I was like the weird kid with divorced parents, but I didn't know that I was.
Your parents are divorced? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought your parents lived in different places.
Yeah, they separated when we moved to Utah. My dad stayed in Korea, and then they got divorced a couple years later.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Wow. I had no idea. Yeah, I think like, I would imagine divorce would become more normalized because I feel like if 2 Mormons get married, it's obvious they're not fucking around. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so if the decision to divorce, I could imagine would be more, if not like more painful, if anything.
Sure. I don't know.
I mean, but I don't know why I hold Mormons to like this insane standard. It's just because honestly, I cannot imagine people who don't drink. But wait, do you know, like, is that a thing in the community? Like if a Mormon teen gets drunk, what happens?
Gosh, I don't know. I didn't have any friends who were real like wild like that. Yeah. So I don't know.
Wild like that?
Wild? I know.
I didn't drink either in high school.
I didn't even know where to get alcohol at the age of like 15.
Disgusting boys. Like disgusting 22-year-olds that work with your boyfriend at sports stores.
Oh, is that how you would get alcohol?
Yeah, we'd get like once every like 3 months, my boyfriend and I would pick up a 6-pack of Mike's Hard through his connection at work, which is like a 23-year-old guy buying 2 17-year-olds a 6-pack of Mike Hard's lemonade. Like I cannot think of anything darker. And we would like savor them for months.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sip it.
Yeah. Sip that shit. Bartles and James in the mix. Sunday nights.
No.
That you have bad body odor or breath and no one knows how to tell you.
Yes.
Commitment.
No.
Becoming homeless.
Yeah. That would be terrifying. I wouldn't know what to do.
Do you walk around thinking, like, that could happen to me? Like, when you see a homeless person, do you think, well, it's a matter of time? I do.
No, I don't think that, but I think, like, how did you get here?
Right.
What is, like, that? What was the route to this situation? Because at some point, you probably weren't homeless.
Right. Right.
You know, well, and most people, like, I think I've known a couple people who, like, maybe not a couple, maybe it's just one. Maybe I'm exaggerating in my own head, but, like, one person who's like, my dad's homeless in another city. And it was like, wait, what?
Whoa,
and it's like, he had some mental illness and he just, like, didn't want to do life anymore. And he just, like, is homeless in another place.
I think I've heard someone say that too about their mom. And you know what? That's crazy. It's like having a really severe addict. There's, like, nothing you can do.
Right.
And they may even be a really severe addict. Right. So that's really, I feel like whenever I see a homeless person, I go on that similar mental journey where I'm like, who wasn't there for you?
Right. What happened? And there's no one in your life that can help you, or did you choose this?
Right.
Are you unaware of your situation?
And then I also look at that and I think I think a lot of people go to a place of like, oh no, I have a family though. And it's like, no, they probably had a family too.
Right.
Just sometimes people stop caring about you, or they give up, or they're selfish, or like they never cared about you at all. Mm-hmm. Or
sometimes people just don't want the help.
Yeah, that's true.
That too.
Yeah, that's true. It's really, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I fear it so much. I did just buy a home. I'm the opposite of homeless.
You are like homeful.
Oh my God. I'm homeful. Mm-hmm. I had no idea I'm homeful. That's so big. Oh my God. I'm actually not going to be homeless.
Unless I'm so excited for you.
Well, I could fuck this up. Who knows? I don't know. I take it back. It's going to be fine. Jenna, do you fear change?
No.
Do you fear accidentally falling in love with a stripper or sex worker?
No.
Jenna,
maybe
what,
years ago. Yeah.
What would you do if, like, let's say you're on the road, okay? For some reason, you're road tripping alone and, like, your car breaks down. And so you walk into a little bar on the side of the road and you see this hunk riding the shit out of a pole. And you're like, I think that's the love of my life. And you're like, but I can't have my man seen like that.
I'll
and
be
I can't
like,
bring him home.
Here's a Book of Mormon. And
get him in the mix. I think that's a good – I actually don't think that's a bad idea. Vomiting?
No.
Bugs?
Yes.
Being fisted?
Yes.
Unusually – you're married. It's fine. No, unusually good-looking people.
Yes.
I'm just saying, as long as it's a faithful fist. The dentist?
No.
Death?
Yes.
Knowing what your hot dog's actually made of?
No.
Crying in public?
No.
Being with a man or being with a man who's crying in public?
No.
Being arrested for a murder you didn't commit?
Yes.
Heights?
Yes. Terrified.
The idea that your worst enemy might be right about you?
Yeah.
Birds?
No.
All right. Nice. That's Do You Fear That. Jenna, you are reasonably fearful in a good way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid of all the right things.
I have lots of anxieties.
But no, you're not too afraid. There's a lot of people that come in right off the top with like deep space makes me want to kill myself. So
I'm not quite suicidal yet.
That's
but
good.
Who knows? My feelings on birds could change that dramatically.
TBD.
Yeah.
Do you have three reasons why you're qualified to give advice on today's show?
Yes. Here they are. I've never been to therapy of any kind. So either that means I have all the problems or none of the problems.
Perfect.
We don't know.
Okay, good.
I could be the craziest person ever, or maybe just the most unstable. I don't know. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Have you ever felt like you needed to go to a therapist?
Or
is that
really?
Not really appealing to you?
Not really, but I'm like a pretty chatty person. I'll tell people what's
I'm pretty
wrong
chatty
with me.
Broad.
Yeah.
I think you're very self-referenced. I get a self-reference vibe from you. Like, I feel like you can kind of be like, you have inner fortitude or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
A little bit. So, my other one is I had a baby 3 weeks ago. I feel like giving birth really changes your perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I worked in television, and I feel like once you work in TV, you learn a lot about people, feelings, emotions, bad things that happen between people.
Yeah.
It's
like, hardly a job in the most jobs all at once.
Yeah, it is. And I actually feel like working in TV is a little bit like just recently I was watching Downton Abbey and I was like, oh my gosh, it kind of feels like living in a Downton Abbey era. Like yeah. you have the levels of people.
Right.
And it gets very like dramatic and catty and yes. there's a lot going on. So I feel like working in TV has given me a lot of life perspective. Right.
Can you even imagine what making Downton Abbey is like?
Oh gosh. That seems super stressful.
This is not Victorian furniture. Right?
Burn it down. Okay. Let's take our calls.
Malls. Hi, Malls. Love the podcast. So I hope this is in time for holiday stuff, kind of a holiday themed question. So I'm late 20s, been with my boyfriend for like 10 years. So obviously around holiday time, like everyone my age is like getting married at this time of our lives. So friends, family always asking like, when are you going to get married and all that stuff. And then it's like, I just kind of feel ambivalent towards it right now. Like I could take it or leave it. So answering the questions is sort of an annoyance. So I was looking for like a fun comeback, like a good way to segue out of the conversation or just avoid it, or like a snappy one-liner, because sometimes I just want to be like, because you guys are all going to get divorced, like, but I'm not that cold-hearted knowing like most of my family have gotten divorced. So yeah, any thoughts? Thanks, bye.
Okay, I'm just going to look on Amazon really quickly, but I think you can get like a printer scanner fax for probably like $100 or something now. So you want to get your boyfriend to pull his dick out and put it on that copier, and you're going to make about 400 copies of his dick. And then you're going to go to the store, you're going to get about 100 envelopes. And inside each envelope, you're going to put four pictures of said dick. Yeah, I'm looking at a nice one right now for $199. Brother makes it. It's a wireless monochrome printer with scanner, copier, and fax. Perfect for this.
I mean, she can go to FedEx. They don't look at your copies there.
Right, exactly. So then you go and you take these dick copies and you put four inside each envelope. And anytime anyone asks you, you just say, here, go suck on this. And then they go suck on the envelope in the corner, and that's your answer. That's what I would do. Just go suck on an envelope of dicks. What do you think? Do you think that's creative and fun? You can make green and red paper. That is very creative.
This one's tough because it's so annoying. My husband and I used to get this all the time with having kids, and he did come up with a one-liner that was that would freak people out. He would, you know, when are you going to have a baby? And he'd say, oh, as soon as we figure out how to consummate the marriage. Like, we've been married for a while. Yeah. We just can't figure it out. I don't know.
But it's also really nosy.
It's so annoying when people do this to you, and I feel for you. I feel for this person because it's the worst when people are in your business. And it's none of their business.
Can I say how happy I am? Oh, sorry. Can I?
No, I was just going to say, like, my rule of thumb is just always make people feel terrible about asking.
Right.
So I think you should follow up on your instinct and say, hey, like, because you've had so many divorces, I want to avoid that.
Yeah.
And they will never ask you about it again.
Yeah. Just ask them anything personal back. I think people don't sometimes realize the boundaries that they're crossing and that they are boundaries.
Yeah. I mean, you could always shout back at them, when are you going to lose that 10 extra pounds you gained?
You are brutal, and I love it. Oh my god, this is why I rarely go up against Christina, because she's one of the only ones that can like just keep
but it's
going.
Just like, it's on par with what that kind of level of personal thing that they have, so they need to understand violation. That
yeah
it's true.
I do want to say, though, that I'm really happy that you're not calling to say that you don't understand why you're not engaged. I'm glad that you know where you're at with this, and that's really what's important. And I mean, I think the best thing about being with someone you love like that is that you guys probably crack each other up. So just go laugh in the car on the ride home about how sad everyone else is.
Well, that's the thing. If you guys are together for 10 years and you're not having any problems and you're not sad about the fact that you're not married, then clearly everything's fine, right? I mean, really, then everything's okay.
Yes. Sorry, I know you're my good. Jacket on. But no, you're absolutely right. I think that you're fine. I think that Christina's right. I think matching it back is as good, as long as you know that your family is, I mean, if they're a bunch of sensitive weirdos and they'd be upset by that, then I guess who cares? Fuck them. And I'm going to just, again, the dick envelope idea, if you want to just rewind about a minute and a half, there's some really good tips at the top of this call. It's a little creative, fun. It's a fun project.
Can you get a nice printer scanner out of it? Yeah.
But like you and your boyfriend, 50 red copies, 50 green copies. You bring out a bottle of wine. You put on Christmas Story and you just fold up your dick envelopes right the night before. You LOL, smoke a little pot, fuck, do whatever it is you do. I think that sounds really fun. Merry Christmas. Next call.
Hi, Moles. First off, just thank you to you and the crew for making my hump day a little more fun. My friend and I were talking about how both of us lack confidence, and that's probably holding us back in various arenas. For her, it's more her personal life. For me, it's more my professional life. And you seem to have so much confidence, and so I was wondering if you had any tips about how to be more confident. For reference, I'm 31. She's in her late 20s. Thanks. Bye.
You know what makes me sad about this is that I don't know what it is about me that people think is confident. Because, like, whenever people are like, you're so intimidating, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I've just been crying and, like, eating cheeseburgers in my car for, like, 3 hours. Like, I literally can't even handle that I'm here. I had to take a Xanax and a half to, like, even muster the strength to walk in this room. What are you talking about?
Well, so, whatever you're doing, it's working.
Thanks, girl.
You really do seem to have confidence. Like,
it's
a
combo of prescription drugs, eating disorders, years and years of just not being able to care enough about myself so that I don't just, like, find the humor in any situation. Those are, like, I mean, honestly, this is what it is, girl. LOL. Like, LOL. Just don't take it so seriously because anytime you're like, is it me? Like, do I look nerdy? Like, am I? Just look around you and just be like, oh, everyone's ridiculous. Like, no one's not ridiculous. My friend was on Rodeo Drive today making fun of all the Korean housewives, like buying shoes and taking pictures. And I was like, look around you and that's who you are. You are a Korean housewife right now. So, like, why are you making fun of them? Confidence is a state of mind. It's also like a faking it till you make it game. But I think that faking it till you make it shit's dangerous.
I do too. I think you got to be careful with that. But it helps in certain times. It's like necessary, the faking it sometimes.
But
when is it dangerous?
The reason why I think it's dangerous is because in that it's false. It's not authentic. And so you can build up a sense of confidence that looks authentic, but when it's not, you're really just living a lie.
Yeah, and then I feel like the world can come crashing down on you at any moment. Right. You're, like, not prepared to actually handle life.
Well, you're just swimming in waters that, like, aren't for your – they're not for you. So, like, that's really what – I mean – I think it can be dangerous in that sense. I think it can also be dangerous in that you can come off like a fucking asshole. And, like, that's not really ever good. But, I don't – what do you do, Jenna?
Oh, confidence is crazy. People always say I sound like I have a lot of confidence, but I have many, many insecurities. I'm the same way where I can be crying on Tuesday and then on Wednesday go out and do a show for, like, 1,000 people and act like everything's great. No big deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think – gosh, you gotta find a sense of identity in whatever way you can. I think that's a huge thing.
Yes.
Is knowing, like, who you are and why you're that way and you're okay with it.
Yes. And okay, well, then also it's like the two, they're talking about two different areas. And there's lack of confidence in work, I understand, because that means that you, and I understand lack of confidence in love too, but maybe I've gotten a little bit more confident because I've realized that it almost never works out. If someone isn't right for you, then there'll be another person.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done worse. Like, I've never had, like, a huge lapse and, like, gone back to dating, like, complete scumbags after dating angels. Like, I've always just done a little bit better than the last guy. And I think that noticing patterns is good for confidence, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
keep
yeah.
your eyes open because, like, I've been – I was crying at my new therapist's office on Thursday this week saying that I'm so fucking sad and so scared for my life all the time and always freaking out. And, like, I, you know, some people might think that because Hello Giggle sold that I have it all. I am, like, more fucked than ever. So I was, like, crying my eyes out about it. And then I said, but you know what? It's only when I get this sad that something really amazing happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's. And then I got my house the next day. And, like, that maybe wasn't it. But it's, like, that's why I believe in God. Like, there's little subtle nudges and reminders all the time that it's going to be okay and mm-hmm. that it's slowly always improving. And whenever things are bad or scary or whatever, you're going to do great. And fear and work is good. Fear and love.
Yeah. Fear and work can be motivating.
Yeah.
And make you like go, okay, what do I really want? What it do I need to get to? Yeah, exactly.
Because people who go to work and are like, I got this, never got it. Mm-mm. Or they're or assholes and everyone hates them.
Right.
I mean, we watch Apres-Ski, right? On Bravo, Apres-Ski. Jim is a real dick in the workplace. He's way too confident about his ability to be a concierge at Whistler. And... By the way,
this
Whistler
is a real thing?
Yes, Apres-Ski. Jim is a concierge at Whistler, and it's a concierge program for Gibbons Life, which you may have heard of, Gibbons. And so this guy, Joey Gibbons, owns now a concierge program, and they bring people up to the mountains. And like Jim's like, I'm the best at Whistler. I know this mountain like the back of my hand. But like Jim's not interpersonal like the way the other chicks are. And so, I mean, he is hunky, but like, come on, Jim. So don't be a real Jim is what I'm saying. don't you want to be less like Jim and more like Lindsay, the pro athlete who like really just checks in and out of the concierge program and like does her GoPro sponsorships on the weekend. That's who you want to be.
Yeah, that so sounds right.
Be that.
Right? Feels good.
You want to be Lindsay. So be a Lindsay. All right. I guess, Jenna, do you have anything else to say?
No, I think you summed it up with
what
that
is
Bravo
Al's secret
show
to confidence? I feel like Al is a confident man.
He is, but then he is the same as me where we put this confidence out, but we have our moments.
Right.
But again, I think for him, it's like he's just... My husband, he just owns everything. Yeah. Like everything he does, he's whatever. Like, yeah, I did that. I'm cool with it. It's fine.
That's really, really funny. Why do you call him hashtag Al, by the way?
That started on Allison's podcast, I think, a couple years ago, where I was just throwing hashtag in front of everything.
Yeah. It's really cute. Everyone calls him hashtag Al. It's really cute. That's adorable. Okay. Figure it out, girl. Next call.
Hey, Miles. This is Sarah. I just have a question and maybe I guess more advice from you and the Please Advise crew. So I am 27 years old, recently separated from my husband. I got married when I was young. So I've been dating for a while and I had one kind of relationship with somebody that I kind of just happened to fall into. I wasn't looking to get into a relationship. I was just kind of like going on dates, having fun. And that's what I still want to do. So I got into the relationship with this guy and it turns out he is totally fucking crazy. And I like never knew he was crazy. We met at work and we have like good jobs and stuff. So it turns out that he was addicted to bath salts, and it was a crazy experience. And I guess, obviously, I ended that, but now I'm trying to get back into dating again. And I've been going on a couple dates, and, you know, I've been wanting to kind of take it a little further with these guys because I'm definitely, like, trying to be on my own right now, have some fun, and I just, like, I just can't do it. I get down to it, and I'm like, no, I can't do it, which has never really happened to me before. So, and I had a date with this one guy tonight who I've liked for probably ever, and things went really good, and I freaked out like an idiot. So I was just wondering, you know, maybe you had some advice, because this happened to me twice now, and I'm feeling like I've got no chill. I lost my chill. Where did it go? So if you guys could please advise, that would be great. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Christina, I have a cool, like, a little bit question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think we're being trolled?
I don't know.
Who the fuck is addicted to bath salts? Like, that doesn't seem like a and how would do you it not, on the reg sort of thing.
Yeah, and how would you not pick up on that? I don't know.
I mean, if you meet someone and they're fucked up, you might think, like, oh, that's just a really – I've also never done bath salts or seen anyone on them. But, like, don't they make you eat people's faces and stuff?
Yeah, maybe that's just an extreme case of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, those synthetic drugs are bananas. When I got chased in Tucson, the guy that was chasing me had foam pouring from his mouth like he had rabies. We found his heroin after, but, like – you know, heroin doesn't make you run. Like, I don't really know a guy who smokes a bunch of heroin and then wants to go for a brisk jog after a young woman screaming, I am Jesus. So, yeah. Like, I feel like that might be – there's, like, synthetic shit out there that's really happening. But I don't know, girl. Sarah, are you sure it's bath salts?
I know nothing about bath salts. I know. I just like learned about them last year. So right? Yeah, I don't know anything about. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm addicted to Epsom salts. I love it. Every day I soak my brains out.
Yeah. This is like, you're only 27 and you're just recently separated. So for me, it's like, you'll get your chill back. You just got to give yourself some time.
And are we sure the chill was ever there? Or as much as like you just were, you like, when you marry someone and you like, that is a sense of confidence. Like, were you forced to feel unchill at any point?
Right.
Between being like a nubile 22-year-old getting married out of college to now being 27 and out on the market. Mm-hmm. Those are really biologically and mentally very tiresome years. Like, you do a lot of work on yourself.
Yeah. You're so different.
How old were you when you got married?
26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're 30.
I'm 30 in next year. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, we're
that's
the
like
same
a
age.
Really. Yeah. That's like I think a good. I think 26 is good. I worry about these people that get married at like 22 though and stuff. That's really.
Even from 22 to 26, I was a different person because wildly. I went from college life to actually having to make money and pay for my life and not go into crazy amounts of debt, which mm-hmm. was hard for me because I wanted to spend money all the time.
And you lived in New York.
Yeah, where exactly.
It's impossible to be broke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Like, have you even had time to figure out who you really are and what's going on? Because
yeah.
there's so much change that happens in your 20s.
And that's what dating is, by the way, is like figuring out who you are because yeah. – you learn so much about yourself through these other people. It's never going to be like, you know, or it's not always going to be like that intoxicating feeling of like, he's thinking about me while I'm thinking about him.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
We're like, like mm-hmm. those chills. Like, usually you're just trying to figure out like, oh, I can't date a guy that doesn't laugh at jokes like that. Or
right.
like,
yes,
I feel sexy about myself when a guy talks to me like this as opposed to this or whatever.
Right.
You know,
or like this person's really fun, but then when we go out in public, I'm embarrassed of him. Or
100%,
things like that.
Yes.
You're like, this isn't going to work. Yeah.
You got to take it on wheels. I'm big on that. Taking the relationship out on wheels before you do anything too serious. But I don't know, girl. I think you just got to keep trying. Dating is weird. And I honestly think it's a numbers game. I think volume is very important. I'm not saying go be, you know, we don't like to pass our hole here at Please Advise, as I so eloquently have put it in the past.
Speak for yourself.
But I know, Christine, God knows what she does. I don't speak for her ever. But I really do think volume is important. I think it's important to be, if you like a guy, do what I did. Go find three more that you like, or that you're willing to try. And just like go eat dinner with people, have drinks, like engage
yes,
with them, look
yes.
at them in the eye. Like, see if you can have like an energetic, fun conversation with someone and not have it dip and be weird. And if it is dippy and weird, like, are you guys thinking about how fabulous it is? Or are you just like looking at the ground? Because I've been on both of those dates yes. and it's important that you experience them all. Jenna, what was the worst date you ever went on?
Oh, I've had so many. One time a guy asked me to go see like Shakespeare in the Park in mm-hmm. New York and we got there and he actually like didn't have tickets or something and then we didn't get in and then we walked around the park for a while and then we went to go see a movie. That was mm-hmm. his next idea. And then that didn't work out because it was a really packed Friday night or whatever it was.
This guy sounds like a dud.
Oh, yeah. And then he was like, oh, my friends are having a party close by. And then we got in a cab and then he had the cab drop me off because he was like, oh, I'm going to the party, not you. And
what?
I just went home.
Where did you meet this monster?
It was a setup. He was like a friend of ours set us up.
Okay.
And it was horrible. That was just one of many. Yeah.
Really dipshitty.
Yeah.
Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Was dating non-Mormons an option for you?
I did. I dated everybody and all kinds. Just because I felt
a lot of
like
mostly black guys, right?
Tons, yeah.
Okay.
There I dated, honestly, I can say from like every pool. out there. I mean, I dated so much in New York, and I know that sounds like I'm bragging. It's not a bragging. It was just
big braggy brag.
I wanted to date a lot.
Get a load of this confident one, yeah, Sarah. Right? Look at Miss Dates over here.
I know all of a sudden I sounded like I'm so cool. I dated a lot, but really it was for that reason, because I was like, I wanted to date a lot and meet a lot of different kinds of people, because who knows who I could have ended up with. That's actually why I felt so confident marrying my husband, because it was like, I already know what's out there. Yeah. I've done this. I have found this person suddenly.
You should be going on
life
mad
is date in sync, you know?
Yeah.
But now
how
I can't remember what I was going to say.
How long did you know after you guys met?
I wanted to marry Al like a month or two after.
Really?
I like knew that quick.
Do you think he knew that about you too? Or do you know that?
I think he would say, yeah, he was pretty confident quickly.
When did he tell you he loved you?
The weekend after Thanksgiving, after
girl,
we met.
The weekend after Thanksgiving is always my love weekend too.
Really?
My last three relationships have started on that window.
Weird. Yeah. So this was weekend after Thanksgiving in 2011, and we'd only been dating for like 2 months, 2.5 months.
Wow.
It was fast.
Wow. That's
awesome. Are you a fast in love kind of person before that?
No. Actually, okay. I was kind of a jerk in my own way.
Really?
Yeah, I look back on it now, and it's so true. I was kind of a mean girl dating wise. Like, I would tell guys, like, oh, we can date, but just so you know, I don't want anything out of this. Like, it's not serious for me, and I could leave at any moment. Like,
wow, yeah.
I was not exactly an ideal girlfriend in my own ways as well. Like, I dated a lot of losers, but I also feel like I sometimes was the loser as far as, like,
but you're honest.
Little insensitive.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, but you know what? Guys don't hesitate to do that to women at all.
Right.
In fact, like, we're supposed to just deal with that.
Right.
Like, oh, that's just the way guys are. Like, he's like, he wants to hang out with me, but he also never wants to speak to me again.
Right.
We're supposed to just deal with that. So I actually really admire the shit out of that. That you even
you
could, like, be in that place emotionally where you're, like, again, like, that inner fortitude to just be like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, I see what it is. I really respect that a lot.
Thank
I find
you
that really difficult to do, actually.
Thanks.
So I think that's really cool. Y'all, we're going to read our letter before we sign off, but I just want to really quickly go over Jenna's stuff. Jenna, you are on Twitter at Jenna Kim Jones, right?
Yes.
Instagram, same?
Same,
and then you have Sorry Not Sorry with Jenna Kim Jones. It's your podcast.
My podcast, yes. It's on iTunes or my website, jennakimjones.com/podcast.
And people can always find you on Allison's show as well.
Yes.
We have a nice little crossover.
I know.
Of like, I see the same peeps being like, hey, hey. So I like that a lot. I like that we've formed a little tent of humanity. What any other plugs? Hashtag Al. Do you want to give Al some shouts?
Yeah. My husband, Alan. Alan Moss. Two A's, two L's.
Two S's.
Two S's.
I mean, so cute. And your sweet baby.
Yes, and I just had a baby. And I have a comedy special that you can buy on DVD on my website as well, jennakimjones.com/shop, because I also do stand-up. But right now, I'm just in the throes of motherhood and podcasting like crazy. So
that's awesome.
Please join us on that podcast.
It's really fun, you guys.
Thanks.
And very wholesome. And like, I don't listen to it and feel disgusted by myself after. I'm like, what a nice couple having fun.
That's
nice. Okay, so Jenna, what's our letter?
Oh, let me read this here. Sorry.
You guys also call us 323-450-7408. Here's a letter.
All right. Hello, Malls. Really love the pod. It has been a real lifesaver on my 15 to 20 hours of car commuting weekly. I made a really spontaneous life decision and sold everything and moved halfway around the world to paradise, where we thought we could live an awesome lifestyle that we thought we wanted. It was an expensive move, but my husband and dog are all here after some crazy logistics had been worked out. After just a few months, we are less than thrilled with our decision. Being so far away from friends and family is hard. I miss my familiar surroundings and ease of my old life. As previously mentioned, I also sit in lots of traffic and have a long commute. My new city is one of the most expensive places to live. All I can think is, what have I done? I'm trapped. My parents have offered a solution to bail me and my little family out. It will be expensive to move back, but my parents are willing to help out a lot. Another option is to move closer to work so my commute is much less, which is also an expensive option. I made a crazy decision because life is so short and I thought an adventure would be fun, but now I am regretting my decision. A decision that was made over beers on a cold winter night that made a tropical life seem so right at the time. I'm in my 30s and feel that getting help from parents seems so juvenile. Am I just homesick and need to give my new home a longer try? Do I stay or should I go? Please advise.
Yeah, I wish she had mentioned where the hell she moved
to. I'm literally like, I know. Yo, girl, where are you living? Like Cerritos?
Tropical paradise, like, somewhere.
Yeah, I don't. Seychelles. Where? What would you do, Jenna? I don't.
I am such not a risk taker. I probably, this is like a tough one for me. I take very calculated risks. That's yes. that's my style of risk. So this would be hard for me too. I think I would try it longer.
Yeah.
I think I would stick it out a little bit longer and give it another 1-2 punch. Yeah. Yeah.
I totally related to this. Not like I was really young when I moved to LA, but I didn't know anyone. And I was alone. And I don't, if it hadn't been for my parents to say, like, no, stick it out. Like, you'll be fine. You'll figure it out. Like, something will happen.
You're gonna meet malls.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would still be in LA. You know? Yeah. Right. I don't think I would still be in LA. So I think, like, it's just a matter of, like, sticking it out. And, like, you haven't been anywhere long enough to establish roots, to establish friendships and relationships that'll help motivate you and keep you where you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Have y'all tried to make friends? Like, that's
right.
When your quality of life is good, it kind of really doesn't matter where you are. At the same time, I am really worried about the fact that you put yourself in a situation where, well, maybe getting bailed out by your parents at 30 is juvenile. I think putting yourself at a crazy amount of debt, shaving years off of your life and stress just to not have to admit that you made a mistake is not necessarily smart either. So I think that give it 6 more months.
Yeah.
If it breaks your back, if your parents are pulling like a you have to live with us if we bail you out sort of thing, maybe want to really think about that, because you don't ever want to be tied to someone like that, even your own family, but maybe especially your own family. But just try and make some friends. Like, you guys should probably just become swingers. I watched the show Polyamorous Married and Dating on Showtime, and it looks like those people have a lot of fun. So, and they live in San Diego, which is kind of tropical.
Very tropical.
I don't know if you're relating to any of this, but just floating it. I think I'm really glad that you have a husband and a dog and that you're not alone.
Yeah. At least you have that.
It could be worse, but it will definitely, no matter what, get better, because you'll get used to it. And being used to something helps understand a little bit better. I don't know, girl. I'm thinking about you, though, and I would really – actually, I would love to do a call with you. So if you want to call 323-450-7408 or just email us again at askpleaseadvise@gmail.com, let's have a phone conversation on one of our upcoming pods in 2016. I want to hear about you. And actually, I want to stay in touch with you guys throughout the year and kind of hear about how you're doing and what's happening, because I think what you're dealing with is something that a lot of our readers or listeners either wonder about or are experiencing themselves or have experienced. Yeah. And maybe everyone can be helpful to each other. I'm thinking about you.
That was a tough one. We moved to California, and we don't necessarily love it as much as sure. we thought we would, Alan and I. And we've thought about moving a bunch of times. But every time we do, we go like, no, let's just wait a little bit longer. And then, like you were saying earlier, something great happens.
Right.
Or we figure something new out. Or we make a new friend. Or work turns a corner.
Yeah.
So I would say time. You need time.
Absolutely. My first few months in LA were kind of miserable. Like, the only people that I would talk to are like the baristas when I was ordering a coffee. That'd be the only human interaction I had.
Yeah.
For like a really long time. So.
But you figured it out. Like, I mean, I did. We were lucky because Tumblr was so like cracking at that point, and like, there was just like Tumblr meetups all the time. And so, well, when I moved to LA, I only knew Ed. I mean, which, by the way, is not an only, because who's better to know than Ed? But I felt very lucky to have, but also have the mental fortitude to go put myself into shit and say like, I can't do this alone. So I'm gonna go like check out that place I heard develop Super 8 film and like go see if I can go watch some small movies by myself and maybe like meet some cool people. Or I'd go to the library. I'd just go work in public spaces. I'd force myself to go work at Coffee Bean, even though I had the luxury of working in my apartment. You and I would go to Coffee Bean every single day together. And like, did we meet a ton of people? No. Did it help to know that there was humanity around us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think
right up until they started covering up the outlets.
Yeah, that was real dick shit. I think that was a direct response to us, which is really weird because I felt we were very popular.
Not only that, but we like continuously bought stuff while we were there. Yeah, we weren't just like squatting for the energy. Like,
I only
would buy
food. $5 and I gave it all to you, Coffee Bean. So just give me your electricity. It's so sad. You guys, again, 323-450-7408. Always email us at askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. We'll take your letters and your voice notes there. And also just your constructive criticism. If someone wants to tell me I suck, that's fine. I won't read it. But if you want to send it there, that's fine. We're on Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, Facebook, all those social media things. Just search for PLZ Advise and you'll find us. We love it when you leave us nice reviews and retweet us and share us with your friends. And you guys, happy Christmas, merry holidays, happy new year. You guys, I'm really happy for all of you. Yay. All right, Jenna, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. This was awesome.
Please come back again.
I would love to.
And will you bring your lovely husband and your baby?
Gosh, yes, we will.
And Christina, will you distract them so I can steal the baby? Thank you. Is that, by the way, is that really disturbing when I threaten to steal your baby?
No, I think it's awesome.
Okay.
The more people that love my baby, the better, okay, good. I think.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because a lot of moms look at you real weird when you threaten to steal their baby. They're like, does she mean it? Okay, good.
I mean, maybe you should borrow her for a while. You know, give me a break.
If you could trust me to babysit, that would be the biggest come up of my life. Like, no one will leave their child with me, and I'll make her a goddamn nursery at my new home. She can come plant lemon trees with me. I'll put her in a baby Bjorn and grow weed with her all day.
I love it.
Samantha and I will make hemp necklaces. Okay. Thank you guys. Next week. Bye.